to you.
Today on the show, the billion-dollar valuation of
Balogun Broad does. Let's talk about the stock market and Alaba market. Let's talk about share IPOs and diesel supply LPOs. Let's talk about Broad Street.
The Nigerian Stock Exchange recorded an all-time high of...
And Balogun Street.
The maximum I'll spend on fuel, so on through, was 4,000.
On Balogun Broad, Wednesdays at 5.
This is the Realest Business Show on radio. On Balogun Broad, we talk about the issues in the news that affect businesses of all sizes and the people who work for these businesses. Why are unpaid salaries such a common problem? Specifically, let's talk about unpaid salaries in the informal sector. Now, I know it's also a problem in the public sector and the formal part of the private sector, but it's probably worse in the informal sector. And that makes it today's business hard fact. 40% of informal sector workers in an SBM Intelligence Nationwide survey were owed unpaid salaries. 40% of informal sector workers in an SBM Intelligence Nationwide survey were owed unpaid salaries. If that trend holds across society, it means that 4 out of every 10 informal workers are being owed salaries. And that's huge. It's especially huge when you remember that our informal sector is much larger than the formal sector. So most Nigerian workers are informal workers. And a very large minority of them are being owed salaries. So today, for the next, 50 minutes, give or take, for the next 50 minutes, we're going to look at SBM's report about this issue. We're going to look at what the root causes are, maybe try to figure out a possible solution. I hope we can. My guest and analyst with SBM Intelligence, her name is Ese Okaila. Welcome to Balogun Broad on Hard Facts.
Good evening, Sandra. Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Good evening, Lagos.
And of course, Lagos, you are my second guest on the show. We want to hear from you. Why are so many informal sectors being owed salaries? Do you have experience with unpaid salaries, either as an employee or as an employer? What's happening there? Why is that happening? Give us a call on 0700-993-993-993. Tell us what's happening. But first of all, let's say, tell us about the study itself. How did SBM go about this study? How did you arrive at the number that you have?
Okay. So, Sandra, like you rightly said, a majority of Nigerian employees are oftentimes owed salaries.
Hmm.
But when you listen to the news, you hear information around public sector. This state has refused to pay salaries,
mm-hmm.
these ministries, agencies,
mm-hmm.
and even in the private sector,
mm-hmm.
really around the formal sector, you hear about non-payment of salary.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really not much buzz on non-payment of salary or irregular payment of salary in the informal space.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really an intelligence company. That was a question we needed to answer.
Mm-hmm.
And that led us to conducting the survey
mm-hmm.
across all states in Nigeria, including the FCT.
Mm-hmm.
We had a total of 3,416 respondents,
mm-hmm.
of which, like you rightly said, 40% of them had stated to us that they are actually being owed salary. And the duration of non-payment varies. We had like 43% of the 40% that mm-hmm. said that they were being owed salaries. We had 43% who were being owed up to 3 months
mm.
salaries.
Mm.
We had 29% of the respondents saying that they were being owed up to 6 months salaries, 4 to 6 months salaries. We had 50% of the respondent sites were being owed as high as 7 to 10 months salaries. And mm. we had, which from the lower pack, but still a major source of concern was 5% of the over 3,000 respondents are being owed between 16 to 20 month salaries.
Hmm.
So we try to get some demographics on the respondents
mm-hmm.
Across the different states.
Mm-hmm.
We had more of female respondents than male respondents. And if you're aware, according to the International Labour Organization,
mm-hmm.
we have more of almost 93% of women play in this space compared to 90% of men
mm-hmm.
that are actually in this informal sector.
Mm-hmm.
And even informal sector is a major employer of labor
mm-hmm.
in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And so aside getting the gender right, we also try to get even representation. So we try to engage with the married individuals,
mm-hmm.
divorced, single,
mm-hmm.
as well as women-headed households
mm-hmm.
to get insight and thoughts on this issue that we're trying to answer to.
Mm-hmm.
We also looked at the age bracket. A majority of our respondents in terms of age brackets were more around the around 36 to 45, 26.
Mm-hmm.
So the youthful population was what we targeted. As much as possible, we tried to engage with respondents between 18 to 25 years of age,
mm-hmm.
which formed 9% of our respondent bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Whilst the other respondent bracket formed 37%. Right. And we also engaged with the older individuals, that is from ages between 46 to 60 years,
okay.
to also hear if they are facing this issue mm-hmm. and how, what's the coping mechanism,
mm-hmm.
right? Someone mm-hmm. has not collected any income for 20 months.
Mm.
How are you living? How are you surviving?
Mm.
We also tried to get insights on what's their average monthly income. Is it because they earn high? Is that why their employers are unable to keep
pay.
Up with paying mm-hmm, their salaries?
Mm-hmm.
And majority of them just earn within the minimum wage. Mm. So between 15,000 to 35,000, that's what majority of them earn. Only 5% earn above, let's say, 300,000 naira. We're having just 8% of respondents stating that they earn between 75,000 to 95,000 naira. So the bulk of the respondents are really within that below 50,000 naira or less.
It puts all the Twitter debates about can you marry somebody that earns 75,000 into perspective, doesn't it?
it's really a big question, really. But funny enough, Sandra,
mm.
you see this respondent that we're engaged in, the married ones,
mm-hmm.
they have household size of 4 to 5. And really begs the question, how do you survive? They were able to let us know some of their coping mechanism, which we'll discuss.
Get into mm-hmm.
the course of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also we tried to know, okay, some states, apparently, we have some good states
mm-hmm.
who are not going.
Okay.
No, seriously. We tried to, across all the 36 states, at least a minimum of 100 respondents.
Mm-hmm.
And you see states like Akwa Ibom,
mm-hmm.
Bayelsa,
mm-hmm.
Kano,
mm-hmm.
Sokoto, and Yobe.
Mm-hmm.
We had our respondents saying that none of them were being owed salaries.
Now, were these people in the public sector or people in the private sector or people in the informal sector?
Informal sector was what the survey focused on.
Mm-hmm.
Individuals, those even very close to the poverty line.
Mm.
To really know you're earning just above a dollar
mm-hmm.
or $10 or thereabout,
mm-hmm.
and you're being old and you still live and you continue going to work every day.
Hmm.
So
let's talk about the coping mechanisms, because I mean, you mentioned 20 months in for some people in some cases. How are they coping? And you mentioned people who are living on 15 to 75,000 naira a month, you know, being a family of 4 or 5 or 6. How are they coping? What are their coping mechanisms?
Okay, so from the conversation we had with them, there are different coping mechanisms that suits different individual.
Mm-hmm.
So you had some who say that even if they are not paid,
mm.
they end up getting some kind of in-kind benefits from their employers.
Okay.
So they get food, they get clothes.
Okay.
Probably when they have one or two family emergencies, the employer step in.
Okay.
However, these earnings or these benefits
mm.
doesn't equate to the amount they are meant to be paid.
Right.
So at least, even if you do not pay me,
mm-hmm.
I can rely on you somewhat to solve some of my day-to-day needs as they go on. And some of them also stated, as much as they rely on this benefit, it's not as though it's what they want,
mm-hmm.
but it's better to, you know, still keep on getting this benefit.
At all, not a bad pass.
Exactly.
Mm.
Exactly.
Mm.
Now, another coping mechanism for some of them is the hope for better opportunities.
Okay.
So, should I see that home? or rather go to work, hopefully I meet someone during the course of duty who sees my potential or needs my services, and I end up getting another offer rather than sitting at home reading through the newspaper or just applying. So that is some of the reasons why some of them go to work every day. We also had individuals that say that what they do is they create a parallel income of their employer's clients.
Okay.
Ooh. Or even for those that have supermarkets, for example.
Okay.
You know, they are the one in charge. They get the stock taken for the day. They also go to the market, you know, to get some other additional goods. You as the girl comes in. What's happening? Madam, business is not moving, no. We're not selling. Rather, they are selling their own products for them to survive.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So coping mechanisms include, you know, embezzlement and fraud.
Something like that. Unfortunately, so.
Unfortunately, yeah. Now, how are employers able to get away with this? How come government agencies are not more involved in making sure that labor laws are obeyed?
Good, very good question. So, when I looked at the labor laws, right, we looked at it, right? If you look at the labor laws closely, it really covered a lot of areas. Nigerian employers, private to public sector employee employers, what they should do to their, should not do to their employees. In terms of payments, you do not owe more than a month's wage. In terms of upfront, should not be more than a month, or you should not pay anything other than the legal tender and the likes. However, if you look closely around compensation, there is no clearly spelled out way for penalty for default.
As with most Nigerian laws.
Let's just ignore the fact that most of these guys in this space are not familiar with their rights. Even where they are, the laws do not really provide that level of succor for them. And the employers end up getting away with that. And secondly, most of this kind of employment, there's no formal contract or agreement to bind the engagement. Where they are loosely spelled out, open for tweaking where convenient for the employer.
Right.
Let me cite a case. So we spoke to someone who said that part of the constraints they have is, you see, an employer, based on what happened during the month in terms of sales, can come out to say, you know what, you didn't make good sales for the month, so I can't pay you yet. Or you didn't meet the sales target. Well, there was even no specified sales target in the contract. Some are contracts, some are true families. So all this kind of arrangement, the lack of process, form, and system in this sector helps the employer, put the employer at that advantageous position against the employee.
Is it accurate to say that because there are so few jobs, even in the informal sector, supply and demand are in favor of the employers, and so employees feel like they have no choice but to accept some injustice?
Sandra, it's almost the same thing in the formal sector.
Right.
You get incidents where you see your employers telling you, go. If you do not want the job, if you cannot do what I want you to do, if you cannot cope with the condition, there are a lot of people out there. Currently, we were initially second position in terms of unemployment. Nigeria is now third, just 0.1% shy of Namibia, who is second, and South Africa. So there's really no opportunity out there for them. And they just have certain things. And now most of them are now negative rather than being positive.
Lagos, if you just tuned into the conversation, I'm having a brilliant conversation with an analyst from SBM Intelligence. Her name is Ese Okaila. And she's been talking to us about why unpaid salaries are such a common problem, especially in the informal sector. Because like I said, when we started, yes, it happens in the public sector, in the private sector, but it's worse probably in the informal sector. Our business hard fact, in fact, is that 40% of informal sector workers in their report, the report from SBM Intelligence, in a survey they conducted nationwide, 40% of informal sector workers were owed unpaid salaries. And like you heard from Issei, some of these salaries are owed, you know, for as long as 20 months. All right, Lagos, let's talk. Shall we join the conversation? I want to hear from you. Why do you think that so many informal sector workers are being owed salaries? Do you have experience with unpaid salaries? Either as an employee or as an employer. I want to hear from you. 0700-993-993-993. 0700-993-993-993. Hello. Sorry about that. Call us back if you can. 99.3.
Good evening, Sandra.
Good evening, sir. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Chidi.
Chidi, welcome.
I think first you need to define what you mean by informal sector so that people understand, have it in a better perspective. You know, is it in terms of number of employees within an organization are considered informal, or is it because of this industry like supermarkets? You know, so it's very clear, it's important to have a better position in terms of the concept of what you mean by informal sector. Because either you are in the formal sector or you are in the informal sector. And most times, formal sector is considered a government sector. But
No. Government sector is government. Government.
Let me go straight to the issue.
Okay.
I think the report is very good, but it's one-sided. The other side of the report is to find out from employers of labor, why do you owe salaries? I think that will show you clearly that the Nigerian environment is very hostile. Apparently, very, very hostile for organizations. You're dealing with double or triple tax issues. You are dealing with IRS. You are dealing with the state Internal Revenue Service. You are dealing with so many charges and levies. At the end of the day, you make money, but you discover that by the time you look at your expenditure going to government from taxes, it becomes completely, completely unprofitable. That is one. Then secondly, a lot of people, musicians, they don't understand some of their obligations. And what are the obligations? Some of their tax obligations. People go in with very low pricing goods. But at the end of the day, because of competition, you have been able to fulfill, you have been able to make some sales, but when you net off your costs, you net off your obligations, you discover that you are in red. So I think it's important to also go further in this study to find out from employers of labor, why do you owe salary?
So I have a question. I don't know if you can hear me, but I have a question, right?
Yeah.
Now, in other countries, if a business cannot pay salaries, it closes. So why not close the business? If after expenses, a business cannot pay salaries, it's considered to be a bad business, right?
Yes, to a large extent, that is correct.
So why not close the business? Why exploit free labor?
No. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you should exploit.
No, I'm not saying you're saying that. I'm just going where your conversation has led. I'm not saying that's what you're saying. I'm saying I'm going where your conversation has led us. Why exploit free labor instead of closing the business that cannot pay salaries? Something you can't do anywhere else but Nigeria.
Yeah, you might call it free labor, but it's not really free labor.
No, it is free labor.
No.
It's free labor, sir. That's what free labor is.
You're not paying for services right now.
Because there's still an obligation. Because let me tell you, Sandra, it is very difficult. I'm not saying it's impossible. For an employer of labor to come to work every day and your own salaries have 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, you feel very uncomfortable.
And they're working, but they're not being paid. So how is it not free labor? Your obligation to them is to pay them a salary for the work that they're doing. They're transporting themselves to work, they're feeding, and they're not being paid. How is it not free labor?
That's what I'm saying. It is not really free labor. Yes, you are not paying on time, but your obligation remains. Even if it is you're going to offset it in the future, but your obligation remains.
Okay.
So that's why I'm saying that it is not a free labor.
Mm.
But the only thing that you're not paying on time.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling. I wish we could, stay with that call some more. But Ese, I wonder, what you think about that. Does it matter to the unpaid worker that the owner feels bad? Does the obligation accrue interest? Is this not exploitation of free labor?
I think first thing first, that is an opinion. I really want to quickly answer some of his comments before I comment on what you just said. So to the caller who just called now, the study itself was clearly focused on owing salary from the employee perspective. One, feedback noted on information on employer. But to be fair on SBM's part, in Q2 2021, we actually did conduct a study on taxation in Nigeria's informal sector.
Yeah, and we carried it here. We talked about it here with one of, with Glory.
Exactly.
Okay, so talk to us about what an informal sector is. What's an informal sector?
Okay, so according to the ILO, that directly defined the informal sector, is basically a sector that is neither taxed nor clearly monitored by the government. They're not fully in control by the government. The activity is not properly controlled or monitored by either the state, local, or federal government. They are able to evade most of these systems put in place. So, for example, you have the food vendors, street vendors, some of the small to medium-sized supermarkets. You have casual laborers. Those kinds of individuals are who we, bus drivers, agricultural sector workers. Those kinds of people are individuals that play in the informal sector. And like you rightly said, our study clearly showed that these individuals currently in Nigeria are apparently being taxed.
They are, yeah. Overtaxed, according to your report, yes.
Extremely overtaxed. Extremely overtaxed. And majority of the earnings, obviously not the point of focus here, but majority of the earnings do not even get to the state coffers.
Right.
Non-state actors come into play to collect these earnings,
sometimes
up to three times a day. And I'm back to his point around the employer. I always want to believe that there is long-standing agreement between the employee and the employer, wherein the employer has employed or gotten engaged the services of the employee to render certain defined services. It is oftentimes left to the employer in terms of leadership, administration, and how well you utilize your resource, in-house resource, to be productive. The conversation around payment and your inability to pay if your employees are not productive, or rather, the firm is productive, but the employers oftentimes do not utilize the funds properly. We're talking about the informal sector. A lot of them are not familiar and do not have this good knowledge of financial literacy.
Hold that thought. We'll come back to some of the points you're making, because you see, the points you're raising also apply to the formal sector. So hold that thought. When we come back from this break, we'll explore it further. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to our business segment on Hard Facts. It's called Balogun and Broad, because we take a look at businesses on Balogun Street and businesses on Broad Street. Those are the two kinds of businesses, formal and informal sector. Don't go away, Lagos.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
Your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. And we are talking about unpaid salaries. Why are they such such a common problem, especially well, all across the sectors in the country, to be honest with you. But today we're focusing on the informal sector. And our guest, an analyst at SBM Intelligence, has told us what the informal sector is, given us examples of informal sector businesses. And we've, you know, segued off into like really great conversation brought about by some of the calls that we've received so far. You know, before the break, Issei, you were making a point about some businesses not managing their resources very well. You were also making a point about, you know, one of the major reasons for unpaid salaries being that some businesses mismanage the finances of the organization. And I wonder, do you believe, because this is also a problem with private sector in Nigeria, probably also a problem with public sector in Nigeria. Now, do you believe that for the informal sector, if more informal business owners receive financial literacy training and basic business administration training, maybe they'll be better able to manage their revenues better and be less likely to owe salaries? I don't know. What do you think?
Yes, financial management trainings, financial literacy trainings, are very key to managing your business, as well as ensuring business continuity, right?
Mm.
And like you rightly said, we already have individuals in the formal sector space, as well as public sector, who have the needed knowledge,
mm-hmm.
well-versed, well-experienced, and are still facing these issues.
Mm-hmm.
So does it entirely solve the problem? No.
Mm-hmm.
But to a reasonable extent, it helps improve in terms of percentage the amount of individuals or businesses that are likely facing this problem or are to face this kind of problem. So unlike the formal sector, in the financial sector, in the informal sector space, you're bound to see a lot of businesses where business earnings, personal earnings are being expended from the same account.
Hmm.
There are no proper records kept to even know if they are paying more than they actually earn, which is likely to be a reason why they are unable to pay their salaries.
Hmm.
Or how deep is the owner's hand in the company's coffers that is likely affecting it. So it's somewhat easy in the formal sector space to clearly identify what the issues are in terms of providing a solution to the problem, unlike the informal sector, where it is not properly organized for you to now decipher, to know what are the problems. There are inherent ones across all sectors, but there are some that could be improved upon or likely non-existent if they had the right tools and techniques to work optimally and properly. And it's also dependent on the kind of, so in the informal sector space, from our research, we also found that some of these guys feel they are being owed salaries, right?
Mm-hmm.
But from the employer's perspective, they pay them through partnership. You are now a partner in the business, so you should understand what the problems are.
Mm-hmm.
And you have instances whereby the owners bring in family members who are unable to complain or say, oh, are you not, didn't I help your brother? Didn't I help your sister? You should understand. Let me give you a life story. So I encountered someone, I think 2 to 3 years back. She was working at a firm where the owner pays, so still in this informal space, the owners pay salaries. So when you're collecting your November salary, you get it at the end of December. And it is now popular belief or a culture there where you understand that because of the kind of treatment they get there, it is the employer's own coping mechanism, whereby even when you want to leave the company without going through the formal resignation process, I already have your 1 month salary with me. And even at the company, right, you see her getting customers to come in. She was a lady where she buys clothes, she buys these, go on shopping, whilst the employees are not being paid salaries, all in the name of there is no money. But the accountant, who oftentimes knows this information, for those that are informal, but a larger organization somewhat, or the PA, or people who handle the finance, understand that there is money. However, Madam Olga is using this money for personal needs.
You need to flex.
Information flows around the organization. So you're seeing dissatisfaction, disgruntled to staff, looking for other ways to earn, since Madam doesn't care about us. So there's an issue, genuine issue around proper mismanagement because of lack of knowledge, right?
There also personal, then there's also pure impunity sometimes.
Exactly.
You know, in the cases where the revenue to the business is not enough to pay salaries, in other countries, the business either borrows to pay its staff or it shuts down, just like I was saying to the caller who called before we went on that break. You don't see the company simply continuing to operate on free labor. Now, we got into a debate about whether or not it is free labor, but I'm sorry, it is free labor. But why does it happen here? Is it a cultural difference, or is it because employers know that there's a lack of enforcement so they can get away with it? How is it? Why is it so rampant here?
Sandra. As much as I like to say, part of it is a cultural issue.
Okay.
The cultural issue, complacent on the part of the employer as well as the employees. Part of it is the systemic structural issues. Like I was saying, in as much as you tell the employees to hold the employer accountable, I want to get my earnings, right? I can't pay you, take me to court. What would the court do? Do you understand? So the system or the economy or the way Nigeria has been structured in a way that it already somewhat favors the employer and puts the employee at a disadvantaged position,
mm.
especially where most of these employers, most of these employees actually within, to be fair, they are educated, secondary school leavers, right, have their certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have the national diploma.
Mm-hmm.
Some even have university BSc degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the respondents, I think 5% of the respondents are currently in the process of obtaining a master's degree.
Mm.
So Sandra, it is a cultural issue that was resulted from the system put in place. So the employers are so comfortable. You can't cope with it, go. There's someone, sometimes even your colleague, who is willing to bring his brother or sister into the company to just get a job.
Mm.
Hopefully one day,
You'll get something better. Okay, so let's talk solutions, right? Because we have about 2 minutes and then I have to start taking calls. Let's talk solutions. What options do informal sector workers have when it comes to claiming their unpaid salaries? Because you just talked about, you know, just general impunity over here. The employer will tell you, what are you going to do? You're going to take me to court? So what options do they have? What options do the workers have?
I think first, it boils down to the kind of agreement they put in place in order for you to fight for your rights through the Nigerian legal system, in as much as we believe that it is not fair enough, it's not just enough, it's not fast enough. What do you even have to present your case? So it starts from, what are the terms of engagement? How do you get employed? How did we form this relationship? Is it from, I have called your auntie, your uncle, a friend, come and start work today, I will pay you some amount? It's not written in black and white for you. In terms of my compensation structure, what are the terms? When do I get? I think it starts from there. And also on the parts of government, as much as they're very quick, for example, in Lagos, in as much as you see that most of the taxation from the informal sector doesn't get directly into the coffers of the government, be it at the state level, local government level, or at the federal level, there's an indirect means where these guys partner with these non-state actors to enforce collection. So I think there should be a channel where regulation and organization in the informal space, obviously not like the way it's being done in the formal space, but to a reasonable extent where it is properly organized for activities to take place fair on both the part of the employers as well as on the part of the employees. I think when we start from these two steps,
we can take it, we can move it forward from there. Okay. Well, Lagos, let's keep this conversation going, shall we? If you are just tuning in, join us, 0700-993-993-993, 0700-993-993-993. Hello, thank you very much for calling us.
Yeah, I'm a first caller.
Good to have you on the show.
Yeah. I want to be anonymous.
Okay. That's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah. See, in case of my boss, he paid my salary, and he called me immediately. He called me that I should borrow him 10,000 out of my salary. Even last month, he borrowed 15,000. He didn't pay back.
How much is your salary?
My salary is 50K.
50,000, and they're borrowing 15,000 and 10,000.
Yes, sometimes he will pay my salary. He will just come immediately, go and buy food for me. The food like 4,000, 5,000 plus. Because I don't know how to, I don't know what to think.
Can I ask what you do?
I'm a driver.
You're a driver, okay.
Yes.
Okay. Is there a contract? Do people have a contract for the driving work?
No, just direct driver to the guy.
To the guy. Well, I'm sorry you're going through that, my guy. We've got another anonymous caller on the line. Hello. Hello, anonymous. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, welcome.
Yeah, am I on to Sandra?
Yes, this is Sandra.
Yes, the issue that we are into now that we are discussing. Those are your last question to your guest. What is the solution? I want to tell you the way to meet you, because Nigeria has turned to a double place where dogs eat dogs. If you want to see more of this informal sector and pay workers, go to all those global security outfits to see. Most of them, they are not earning up to 30,000 and they are only not a salary. So That is my contribution.
All right. Thank you very much. He's talking about a lot of the security guards we see at different organizations. And, you know, I mean, they're not paid up to minimum wage and they're also still owed salaries. Let's speak with Akigbe. Akigbe is in Festac. Hello.
Sandra.
Good evening.
Top of the evening to you.
Yes. Same to you.
Yeah, you know what?
What?
When a blind man lead a blind man, both of them will fall into the ditch.
Okay.
When we say we are westernized and that we are highly educated, we have the lawyers, the doctors, and yet they cannot effect it to the lower group to upgrade people. Life is all about upgrading. As you are speaking there now, you are upgrading our mind and enlightening us what to do next. Now, what is the purpose of the labor? It's only labor for those who are there meeting their monthly due to the office. What is the purpose of the labor? Let everybody labor. But they also give out the earnest education to those who want to employ people on how they should not toil on their feelings or abuse their rights. Because to take a lawyer is not an easy joke. The Minister of Justice is there. Go there and ask for a lawyer. They will ask you to pay money. They will ask you to go to court. They are coming. They will not come. So all these are ineffectiveness, abusing the entire grassroots and the middle class, and even the higher class. The other one I've received from unknown soldier, they are all delayed. You know, so whether it will have the effect of what the poor people are suffering. You know, so you that are highly educated, don't be supposed to have a leaflet or a booklet. So from the employee, these are the lines to follow. That if you do not pay your employee and they come to report, there will be charges on you, and the money you owe your employee will have interest.
All right, Taibe. Oh, sorry. But thank you very much for calling. Precious is a caller from Abuja. Oh, no. Precious's call dropped off there. But it looks like our line for women is back up. 01465-7190. So that number looks like it's back up. So go ahead and give us a call back. Now, informal sector is talking about the driver. It's talking about the fuel pump attendant. It's talking about, man, different kinds of people, right? When workers are unionized, it's harder to owe them. It's not impossible. It's not impossible, but it's harder to owe them because unions can organize industrial actions, including strikes. But most of the time, informal sector workers don't belong to unions. Hell, people even in the private sector serve are not even allowed to unionize. Part of the contract you sign in the private sector is you no go join union. Now, what are the constraints for, since we're talking about informal sector people now, and I hate that we have just 1 minute to talk about this, but since we're talking about informal sector workers now and being owed salaries, right? What are the constraints against them unionizing? What can established unions do to help them? We've got 1 minute.
Yeah, Sandra. So why you, like you said, most of the private sector individuals will tell you from the get-go to not join a union. We see what the national NUPENG does, for example,
right,
when there is potential price, like, you know, when they're increasing the source, they just come out immediately to declare
right
a strike.
That's right.
Where you are associated with a union,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
A trade union, your respective sector,
mm-hmm,
they help you advocate on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
There is a certain level of, so where you see employers are able to just decide whatever payment they want to give to their staff,
mm-hmm,
these unions come in on behalf of the employees to speak to the employers in that sector. This kind of welfare the employee deserves, this kind of package they deserve.
Mm.
Just for example, like the resident doctors,
mm-hmm,
wherein in the informal sector, there are unions where the employees belong to.
Mm-hmm.
They are able to formally channel their grievances and possibly get solutions,
mm-hmm,
to the problem.
Mm.
If an organization cannot function without their employee, hate it or not, the employer cannot do the job alone.
Mm.
To a reasonable extent,
mm-hmm,
they need the cooperation of the employee to achieve
their goals.
Essay, and that is where the union step in.
Essay, I'm definitely going to have you back on the show discussing this topic again, but thank you so much for your time. You've been absolutely brilliant.
Thank you for having me.
Lagos, find me on social media, Sandra Ezekwesili. Thank you to SBM Intelligence for their time today. We will bring you Lagosa after the news at 6. And then, of course, after that, we will bring you Let's Talk with Voice of America. Tomorrow at 5 o'clock, let's take a look at the Anambra State elections. We'll have our head of news in Onitsha joining us over the phone. We'll also have somebody from SBM Intelligence because they also have another report about low voter turnout in Anambra. So we'll have someone from their team join us tomorrow to talk about, you know, the votes and elections and all of that from Anambra State tomorrow, 5 p.m. But join the show when we start at 3, when we bring you 3 of the biggest stories of the day. And I hope you're getting ready for our debate tournament that starts on Monday. If you'd like to sponsor it or advertise on it or be a partner, get in touch with us via our website or call any of the numbers that you have. Those are your hard facts, Lagos. Good night.